This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Why have there been so many strange floods lately in many parts of the world? And will this get worse as Earth's climate warms? Dr. David A. Lavers is a postdoctoral research scholar, formerly at the University of Reading in the United Kingdom, and now in the Hydroscience and Engineering Department at the University of Iowa. His paper, Future Changes in Atmospheric Rivers and Their Implications for Winter Flooding in Britain, says we can expect more damaging floods to come. So, David, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you for having me on.
We're going to talk about atmospheric rivers, but first we should explain, what are they?
Well, so basically an atmospheric river is a region of very high moisture transport or water vapor transport in the atmosphere. And the best way to think of it is if you're familiar with the weather charts you see on the Weather Channel or whatever your broadcast weather forecast is, you'll see an extratropical cyclone or a storm that moves across, say, America or the North Atlantic into the United Kingdom, and you'll see a warm front and you'll have a cold front. And the atmospheric river is right up next to the cold front, basically. It's that region which has got high moisture content, so a lot of water vapor in the atmosphere, and a strong low-level wind, which gives you this very fine and intense filament of water vapor transport.
Now, is it related to the jet stream, or is that a separate topic?
It is related to the jet stream. It certainly is. So the jet stream is a high-level phenomenon. So you're looking at the top of the atmosphere, where generally where the commercial aircraft are flying, so 30,000, 35,000 feet up. The storms, these extratropical cyclones, generally develop on that jet stream. And it is at the surface that you get these atmospheric rivers which form. So they are related to the jet stream. That is correct.
And is this a new phenomenon?
It's not, no. It's been around for quite a long time. It's always been there with the fluid dynamics of the atmosphere. What we should say is that there's a general broader region of heat and moisture transport, which is called a warm conveyor belt, within these storms. And there's a very narrow region within that, which is the atmospheric river. And I should mention it was first discovered or first identified, really, in the early 1970s. And then it sort of had a rebirthing, if you like, in the late 1990s or mid-1990s.
Well, David, here's something that puzzles me. Why do these narrow rivers form in the sky instead of water vapor being distributed relatively evenly around the planet?
So it's a very good question. So a lot of it is to do with the circulation of a storm. Basically, the Earth is trying to move warm air towards the pole and cold air towards the equator. So the Earth is rebalancing itself, in effect, which is what these storms are trying to do, these cyclones. But as the cold front moves, as the cold air moves further south, you have convergence of moisture. Moisture is piling up, if you like, and that is what is causing these very narrow bands. It's the circulation of the storm which is causing these very narrow filaments of water vapor, which I agree with you. It's a very interesting thing how poorly mixed the atmosphere is when you see these very narrow atmospheric rivers going from the tropics out to the mid-latitudes where we live.
And how narrow would they be?
So in general, they're, say, 300 to 500 kilometers wide. They're all very different, but on average, 300 to 500 kilometers, that's a general width of an atmospheric river.
Something we'd all like to know, being living here on the ground, is how much rain can fall during an atmospheric river event.
That's an interesting point, a very good question as well. You can certainly have up to 12 inches, a foot of rainfall in a day, or so 30 centimeters of rainfall. One event that I know well in particular, there was a very bad flood event in England in November 2009, and that broke the record for the daily rainfall total in the United Kingdom. And it was somewhere in the region of 320 millimeters. So you're looking at nearly 13 inches in a 24-hour period.
Wow. Well, I'm presuming that if these rivers in the air can be over 1,000 miles long or 1,000 kilometers long, that the rain could fall nonstop for quite a few days. Do I have that right?
Partly right. So there's one key factor which is needed for huge rainfall amounts to ensue, and that is that you need, not necessarily in terms of a flood, but you need an atmospheric river to be stationary in time. So it needs to be hitting or affecting a certain area for a prolonged period of time. And that will ensure that the ground wets up and that you then have a flood and huge rainfall totals.
Last week, I interviewed Dr. Steve Sherwood from the University of New South Wales in Australia. His new science suggests extra water vapor taken up by a warmer atmosphere may not all develop into clouds, and which would help cool the Earth. So that begs the question where this increased water in the air will go. Scientists have been debating that, and I'm wondering, are atmospheric rivers part of the answer to that?
It's not something I can comment on completely. I'm not sure if they would completely go into an atmospheric river. Just to go right back to the beginning, in a warmer atmosphere, you can have more water vapor in the atmosphere. So the air has a higher water holding capacity, if you like. The one thing to be said is that, which probably follows on from what your interview said last week or did last week, just because you've got more water vapor, it doesn't mean you'll have more clouds. And the reason is that in a warmer atmosphere, you'll need more water vapor to saturate the air. So you could have more water vapor in the air, but the air may not be saturated in the future. So that would be one thing. There could be more water vapor, but not as many clouds. What would happen to it? That's not something I know at the moment off the top of my head.
Right. Okay. Well, now, in a few minutes, I'm going to ask you about damaging deluges in the United States, particularly on the West Coast. But first, I'd like to look at your paper on winter flooding in Britain. There have been a series of floods in the UK again this winter. Do you think those are climate related?
Well, there's natural variability in the climate system. So what you're seeing is storms which are developing over the North Atlantic. We're in a particularly wet period or a particularly transient period of storms moving across Britain. It's not something you can say that it is definitely climate change related. As you go to the future, the projections would suggest that climate extremes, such as the ones we've been seeing in the United Kingdom, will become more likely. But at the moment, we don't have the capability to say this one event or this particular time has been worse because of climate change. That's something which they're actually discussing in Britain at the moment quite regularly. And it's something that they do need to address. How do we attribute, or can we attribute, these events to climate change?
And why would atmospheric rivers hit Britain instead of Spain or Scandinavia, or do I have that incorrect?
No, they do hit the whole of Europe. So we've done some analyses last year, having a look at extreme rainfall across Europe. And we find that atmospheric rivers do cause extreme rainfall across the whole of Europe. So that's from Spain, from the Iberian Peninsula, through France, through the British Isles, and up to Scandinavia. So they certainly do affect the whole of Europe. The study that we did in particular was just focused on the UK, but they do affect the whole of Europe.
And your study with your co-authors at the University of Reading examined many climate models to see if there will be more atmospheric rivers as the climate warms. What did you find?
So the main thing that we found is that as you go towards the future, in line with the projections, is that there's an increased water vapor content in the atmosphere, which then leads to stronger atmospheric rivers in the future. So it's based on very sound thermodynamic principles. If you have a warmer atmosphere, you can have more water vapor in the atmosphere, so that if that is being transported, there will be more transport in the future. So the main message from the five models that we assessed was that as you go towards the future, the intensity of the atmospheric rivers in terms of their water vapor transport increases, and the frequency of these events, the frequency of these strongest atmospheric rivers also increases. So the knock-on effect, if you like, the effect of all of this, is that there's more chance of higher rainfall totals and larger floods in the future, and more floods in the future.
Yes, it could be a wetter world and a suddenly more wetter world. That's the big worry. Did you have any way to check your results from these models against really observed incidents of atmospheric rivers now or in the past?
We did, Alex. Yes, that's right. We had a look at the historical runs of the climate models. So the ones we assessed were from 1979 to 2005. And we found reasonable agreement with the observations, if you like, or proxy observations of atmospheric rivers. The thing is, you've got to be very careful. You can only look at the statistics of the event in the past. The climate models that have been run, they don't have the observed conditions resetting the model all the time, like a weather forecast. But what we can say is that the statistics of the past events did a reasonable job in capturing the past activity of atmospheric rivers.
Well, for the politicians and planners and people of Britain, what would be the impact on that country if more and stronger atmospheric rivers develop in the coming decades?
Well, with stronger atmospheric rivers, you would expect there to be larger floods and higher rainfall totals, which is likely to lead to more damage in the future, going on those projections. And even to back up, the reason why we started to look at these projections is because if you look at the past flood events in the United Kingdom, and this goes for the west coast of America in California, most of the largest flood events are caused by atmospheric rivers. So once you know what the feature is of the weather system or the Earth system that is causing these floods, using a process-oriented approach, if you see how these things will change in the future, it gives you a good idea of what is likely to happen. You can't say how many floods will happen, but as you go towards the end of the 21st century, there is certainly a stronger probability or higher likelihood of extreme floods occurring.
You are listening to Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith with my guest scientist David Lavers from the University of Iowa. And I'd like to ask you about atmospheric rivers in North America. I heard from a non-scientist, a person on the ground in Boulder, Colorado, that it seemed like the heavy rains that they had there arrived not so much from big clouds, but from vast amounts of water almost pouring out of the air. Could the Boulder flood have been caused by an atmospheric river, or is that too far inland to be affected?
No, you certainly can get atmospheric rivers in the central part of the United States. That's some other work that we've been doing as well. And although you think Boulder is maybe too far west, some analyses that we did show a weak southerly flow, but it was a very persistent flow. So it wasn't a striking atmospheric river, if you like, that we've seen in the central US or the western United States or the UK. But there was a very persistent moist southerly flow, which occurred at the same time as the Boulder floods.
Why is the U.S. West Coast, and particularly California, more prone to atmospheric rivers like the well-known Pineapple Express?
The big reason is that there's a Pacific storm track that comes across the northern Pacific, very similar to the one across the North Atlantic. And it is within the storm track that the extratropical cyclones or the storms develop. And within those, you then have these atmospheric rivers. So it's because of California's location in the Pacific storm track.
And a few years ago, David, the U.S. Geological Survey created quite a stir. They organized meetings for disaster response officials for something they called the ARC storm. And I'm wondering if you've heard of that.
I have heard of it. I don't know a lot about it, though, so there's one thing I can't really make too many comments on. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, I'll cover that separately because it is a superflood event. It occurs every 1,000 years. That's where the K in ARC storm comes from, atmospheric river K storm. And it hit California in the 1860s and was pretty devastating, but I'll cover that separately. I'm wondering, David Lavers, do atmospheric rivers occur in the southern hemisphere as well? And if so, what countries would be most affected by them?
They do occur in the southern hemisphere. They certainly do. So one in particular is on the west coast of South America. So it affects the Andes region of South America. Some work that I saw recently has identified atmospheric rivers affecting Antarctica as well, which is a very interesting phenomenon that it could go so far south. I'm not too sure. I would suspect that southern Australia, possibly we have atmospheric river activity, and possibly South Africa during their winter seasons, but that's something that would need more work to verify. But certainly South America and Antarctica have had atmospheric river activity detected.
Do you think it's worthwhile for the public to understand these atmospheric rivers and their possible impacts?
I do. I really do. I think engaging people in science can only help in forming policy and really taking the public with you on climate change. I think you need to get people on board with the arguments and to put things in an understandable context. And I really do. I think informing the public about atmospheric rivers is essential. And I don't think it's something that should be just kept to academia or even weather forecast centers. I think it's something that needs to be spoken about.
Did you have any contact with governments interested in your research?
I haven't so far, no. I've spoken to the media about the research, but I haven't had any contact with any governments as yet. But that would be hopefully something for the future.
Yeah, well, certainly you would think the government of Britain would be interested in finding out what's coming up.
I would hope so. I really would. But as I say, hopefully in the future, Alex, there will be contact with people in government and in places where we can move some policy forward and use some of the results that we've found.
Yeah, it's not a household word yet. You know, not many people that I've met are aware of atmospheric rivers. So I think it's something we're just starting to learn about. What will you be working on next at the University of Iowa?
One of the next things I'm going to be looking at is atmospheric rivers in weather forecast models, how well they resolve them, how well they forecast them, to see what improvements need to be made in the future, and really just to give a very process-orientated verification of the weather forecast.
Right. It would be great if our TV weathercasters and government weathercasters knew more about this and were able to predict individual events.
I agree. I mean, they do pick out these events in the weather forecast models. We've done some preliminary analyses that show that these features are there. It's just whether or not, as you go further into the future, they're in the right place. So that's one thing we'll be looking into.
Good. We've been talking about the strange weather phenomenon called atmospheric rivers with Dr. David A. Lavers from the University of Iowa in Iowa City. David was the lead author in a paper titled Future Changes in Atmospheric Rivers and Their Implications for Winter Flooding in Britain. Find links for this interview in my Radio EcoShock blog, published every Wednesday at ecoshock.info. Thank you so much for helping us out, David.
Thank you very much, Alex, for having me on the show.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.